Well, for some time, we have looked forward to hearing from Pastors Don and Marquita about their trip to Belize. Don't we love and appreciate them? And thank God that they had this wonderful opportunity to go and minister. And so they're going to come at this time. Tell us about it.
It started early on Saturday morning. Friday night, I had a lot of work to complete and get done, and so I was up late, and it was after midnight before I completed everything that I needed to do before I could lay down. And so I laid down a little bit after midnight and was up again at 1:30 because our flight was at 7:20 and we had to drive to Atlanta, so we left about 2:30 or 3 and on our way. And so I was glad for a smooth flight from Miami to from Atlanta to Miami, and then from Miami to Belize City. Smooth, nice, it was good. And so I slept most of the time, but it was good. We had a good trip. We got into Belize, and we flew into Belize City. And Belize City, you can't hardly see it. Let me see if I can get this thing to work. There we go. There's a Belize City is right here. It's a 2.5 hour flight from Miami. And we flew into there on Saturday. We got there about 11:30 in the morning. And then we left Belize City and flew down to Dangriga on this plane. Now you can't appreciate that. You can't. We had just gotten off of a Boeing 737, smooth, nice, roomy aircraft, and then got on this little puddle jumper. The seats were out of a 1958, not the seats, but the seat belts were out of a 1958 Corvette. And the seats were little. And there was a lot of people on this airplane. A lot of people. And so you can appreciate that. And they loaded all that luggage underneath the bottom of that airplane. And we got in there, and I didn't know if it was going to get off the ground or not. I'll be honest. Because it was heavy. It was heavy. But we did. We got off the ground, and we're here to testify of that. And we flew from this airport down to Dangriga. And Dangriga is right here. So we flew from Belize City down the coast into Dangriga. The airstrip that we landed on in Dangriga is about like the airplane that we flew into Dangriga on. A little bitty place. I mean, I didn't even see it. And he was on his way down. He was on his final approach, and I was saying, "Well, where's the airstrip?" You know. But we got on the ground. So this is where we did most of our work, in the little place called Dangriga. Belize is a third world country. It is a developing country. A lot of bicycles. The annual income for Belize is $4,000 per capita American money, and Belize money is expensive. It's 2-to-1 exchange rate. So for every Belize dollar I got, for every American dollar I had, I could get 2 Belize dollars. And so our money went a little bit further in Belize. But we were there, and it was a wonderful time. They're beautiful people, and we made it, and our work was done in Dangriga, and it was a great time. Marquita's got to tell you a little bit about some of the things that she experienced.
Yeah. Our Sunday services, I was so disappointed when we got to church in Dangriga on Sunday morning, and I realized that we had forgotten our camera. We walked into the sanctuary, and it was just a block building with no windows, that kind of thing. But it was decorated for their annual harvest celebration. There were braided palm branches everywhere. People had brought in fruits of every description. And there, a lemon looks like a lime, and a lime looks like a lime. I'm not sure really how they tell the difference, but they can. There was fruit everywhere. There were flowers everywhere, and it was just a beautiful and welcome sight, because you felt so immediately at home when you walked in the front door of this sanctuary. The teens had a lot to do in that particular service. And it was so nice to see them because they were having such a good time celebrating and also worshiping the Lord. Their particular youth pastor was 20 years old. So I told him I had a year or two on him, but it was okay that I understood where he was in life. We did enjoy the service that day. Everybody brought their harvest and put it on the altar. It was just a really neat time. Now, that evening, we went to church in Siltgrass. Siltgrass is, in Dangriga, it's primarily Caribbean-type worship. In Siltgrass, which you're seeing a picture here of their worship that night, they are primarily Mayan Indians. And so I had a little trouble with the language, didn't understand a whole lot about what was going on that night. But I could tell that they were worshiping the Lord. And in this particular service, if you decided you wanted to say something or sing a song, you just sent word to the pastor and you said something and you sang a song. There was probably 10, wouldn't you say, about 10 different people that night that had something to say or a song to sing. So when we got there, we were in for a treat, but a long evening. You can go to the next one. These are some of my little friends in the Siltgrass Church. They were amazed at the fact that I had chewing gum. So they would ask me, can I have gum for my brother? Can I have gum for my mother? And I know they were pocketing that gum because they were so excited to have a piece of chewing gum. We take a lot of things for granted here, guys. A lot of things. You can go to the next one. These girls were so sweet. They loved having their picture made. Loved it. They wanted it made over and over. And the next one, this one. This was my little friend on Monday and Tuesday while Don was teaching. I asked her name and she said, Hannah. Come to find out that youngin's name is Jennifer. She just wanted her name to be Hannah. But we had a really good time together. She was quite an entertainer, like our children here, and we had a real, real good time. Now, this was at the church in Siltgrass. This is actually a baby carriage, and there is a baby in that little pouch. And they jokingly say that this is the church nursery. But they carry these actually across their head. And you'll see their babies hanging down their back. And when they get to church or wherever they're going, if the baby's okay, not fussy or anything like that, they just hang it on the pew or on the nail on the wall or whatever. And that's where their baby stays until it gets a little bit aggravated with the situation. But this was totally amazing to me, and I could not believe that there was actually babies in these little pouches. But as we left the church that night, you would see the ladies walking down the road back home with their babies strapped to the top of their heads hanging down their backs.
In the scripture from Proverbs chapter 22, there's a verse of scripture there that really defines the mission that we had. This trip, this mission came on real fast. Darren Pound emailed us and asked us if we would be interested. We emailed back and said, oh, sure, we'd be interested. And he emailed back and said, well, what about coming right now? And so it took a little time to get it together, but teaching is a thing is for me. It's something I wanted to do all my life. I would love to have been a college professor, but I get to teach people anyway. So the Lord has given me my dream. But there's a passage in Scripture in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 19, that really defines what we did when we went to Belize. And the Scripture says, so that your trust may be in the Lord, I teach you today, even you. And so it defined on what we had to do in Belize on that particular time. What you're seeing is a part of the campground. Our campus was Camp Advance, which was just outside of Dangriga, probably 10 miles. And it was back in the jungle. And at night, we could hear the howler monkeys. And if you've never heard a howler monkey, then you need to hear a howler monkey. You really do. And boy, it just has, it's a sound that just makes your blood curdle. And we slept with the windows open because it was so hot. She didn't mention to you that in the church on Sunday morning and Sunday night there's no air conditioning, and the windows are open, and all you have is fans when you can get them. And so it was extremely warm, so there's no AC. And we were enjoying our time on the campground, the windows open at night, howler monkeys screaming. The picture that you saw just before this slide was our dining hall. That's where we ate all our meals. The screen that you see on it, back it up just one, Russ, please. There you go. The screen that looks like windows, that's actually a special screen that they have to keep the mosquitoes out. The mosquitoes, I thought we had mosquitoes in Georgia. We don't have mosquitoes. You eat mosquitoes when you're on that campground. It is a difficult, and they're aggressive. You know, when you slap a Georgia mosquito, he'll go on and leave you alone. When you slap one of those, he comes right back. You slap him, he'll come right back. You have to kill him, actually kill him, and they're hard to kill. But anyway, those are special screens to keep the mosquitoes out. That's our dining hall. That's where we had all of our meals. Then the next slide that you see is our classroom. That's where we had all of our class sessions. During the day, it would reach probably the high 80s. And there's a metal roof on that building. There's no AC. The only thing we had was one box fan. It's a 22-inch box fan to help us out in that classroom. But it was a wonderful experience. There's a caretaker that lives on Camp Advance, and this is his home. This is what he lives in. This is fairly typical of homes in Belize. The thatch roofs, you would think that they couldn't stand hurricanes and things, but they can. They are amazingly strong. You would think that they would leak, but they don't. Somehow they weave them together, and they are waterproof. They're watertight, and so the water doesn't get in, and it's an interesting thing. So this is fairly common. That was his home, but the next slide is his kitchen. The kitchen is not in the house. This is where he prepares all of his meals, he and his family. This is where they prepare all their meals. And I couldn't really get a really good shot of that. His oven is an open fire pit, and he cooks all of his meals on that open fire pit. And this is where the caretaker of Camp Advance lives. We had a wonderful class of individuals to teach. This is my class. There were 20 pastors, men and women, from all over the country. They came from north and south, east and west. Some of them left their home a couple of days before, walked 2 hours out of the jungle, picked up a bus, rode 3 hours further to get to another bus to ride 3 hours on to Camp Advance. They made great sacrifice. They spent a week here with Dr. David Nixon and me, and we exchanged times to teach. I taught Monday and Tuesday. Dr. Nixon taught Wednesday and Thursday. But these people took a week off of their job to come for these classes. And they made great sacrifice to be there. And it was a pleasure to teach them. They wanted to learn. They were hungry to learn everything that they could. My assignment was to teach a course on the biblical basics of Wesleyan worship, which was a great thing for me. I enjoyed the research and everything that was that accompanied it. But these were a great, great bunch of pastors. We had three languages that we dealt with. We had Spanish. We had Quechua. And we had Mayan Mopan. They spoke all three of those. Most of the people in this class spoke very good English, with the exception of two. I had two Spanish guys that did not know any English at all. So I had to assign tutors to them, and they tutored their brothers as we went through the class. It was very interesting. They even tutored the test, and that was an interesting thing. So it was very nice. But they came, they're hungry, they're wanting to learn the word, and they came ready to learn, and we enjoyed it. This was our classroom. That box fan, you can't hardly see it, is underneath that bunk right underneath those windows in the very back. And that's all the air we had in this concrete structure. But God was there. My brothers and sisters, there were times when we had church in that house. And how they do sing.
One, I led them in one chorus. We know, "On Christ the solid rock I stand." All, and I know that song. I do. I've sang it all my life. I know it by heart. I could sing it in my sleep. And I was going to lead them in it. And so we got to the chorus, and I said, "Well, we'll do a verse." And I did the verse. That's one of the songs that they didn't sing. And halfway through the first verse, I forgot the words. And they looked at me and said, "Well, you know it. We don't know it. You sing it." And so they were very kind to me as I made that mistake. But sing they do. And we had a great time. We had church in that little place. The cafeteria, we ate on benches and held our food in our hands. It was a great experience. And it is small, but we had a blessed time as we got our meals together. The camp is a beautiful place. There's a river that runs right down the side of the camp, and I had the privilege to take a couple of minutes off to run down there and take some shots of it. I'd love to have fished in this river, although they don't fish the way we fish. They do fish and hunt, and I want to tell you about that. That's one of the things we had in common. But when they fish, they have little things that they put on their heads, their lights. And when they fish, they get in the water and submerge themselves in that light, and they keep their eyes open. I can't keep my eyes open in the shower, much less underneath the river. And they keep their eyes open, and that light will spy a fish and will freeze that fish, and they'll spear that fish. And that's the way they fish. They don't fish with a hook, line, and sinker and pole like we do. They go in the water. And one thing that you would appreciate about them is that water is crocodile infested. And so you fish with the crocodiles. I choose to use a pole, line, and sinker. And thank you very much. And I'll do my fishing the way we do it here. They also hunt. And they deer hunt there. To have a gun is a very expensive ordeal. They're not allowed to have anything but a .22 rifle and maybe a shotgun. Anything else is illegal. You can't have it. And to have a .22 or a shotgun, and most of them have .22s. A shotgun is very, very rare because the ammunition is so expensive. But to have a .22 rifle, you have to be licensed to have it. And if you're caught without a license, with a gun in your hand, I mean, you don't even have to have it loaded. You don't have the ammunition. Then it's a prison sentence. I think it's like 3 months. But if you get caught with a gun and ammunition, it's like 6 months to a year, and it's a really tough thing. So some of them are licensed to have a .22 rifle. Now, gentlemen, they hunt deer with a .22 rifle, but they don't do it like we do. They do it at night. When they told me that, I said, we get put in jail to hunt deer at night here. We don't hunt deer at night. We hunt deer in the daytime, and we climb a stand. He said, you guys are soft. You don't know how to hunt. They hunt at night with a light on their head. And what's interesting is there's snakes in Belize. And at night, when they have these lights on, snakes are drawn to lights. And sometimes, he said, we'll see a snake coming right for us, and it'll raise up and come right at us. I said, well, what do you do? He says, we turn off our light. Yeah, not me. Not me. But they hunt at night, and they hunt deer with a .22 rifle. And their deer is like our deer. They're major animals. And so they're extremely good marksmen. And they take that .22, normally one shot will do it. And they know where to place that shot. They place it right in the place where they need to. And they bring down their deer. So they do stuff a little bit different than us. But it was a beautiful place. The river is a beautiful, crocodile infested. A little bit more of the river. And then on the way down to the river, my faith in God was tested. My faith was tested. My spirituality was tested. Because as I walked down to the river to take these shots, I ran across this. Now, you can't see that very well. And I was shaking like a leaf when I took it. And that's why it's blurry. But that is a tarantula. And I walked up on that tarantula. Now, that picture doesn't do the tarantula justice. I don't see anything here that's as big as that tarantula was. Honest, good. I mean, it wasn't that I'm exaggerating now. I've got to show you. He was about that big around. That's true. He was a monster. And I walked up on him, and I thank the Lord from here on out. My faith still holds. And I came back, and it was true, and it was a wonderful experience. But that tarantula, I let him be. He was just in the grass. I just happened to look down, and there he was. And I am thankful to be here today because my heart is strong.
This is where we stayed with the Pounds, Darren and Kim and the girls, and they do send greetings to you. There is a little room and a bathroom above their garage, and we stayed there on the days that we were with them, which was about three different nights. There is no hot water. There are no hot water heaters in Van Griega, Belize City, anywhere you go, hotel, house. They have these huge tanks by their homes where they catch rainwater, and that's what you use to shower. It's very, very cold. I felt like I was at Camp Adrian all over again every time I took a shower while we were gone. But we did enjoy staying with Darren and Kim and the girls. They're awesome. Now, this is a picture that Don took because he wanted to show the contrast of the rich and the poor there. You'll see on that side, it is a very, very poor family. And on the other side is wealthy. But in the villages, and there are many different villages, you see that. That's common. You might have one really, really nice house in a particular village, but all the rest of them are very, very poor homes. They do not have windows. They usually have screens, but when you go by, you notice that the doors are open, the windows, you know, you can see through. And it is very, I was not going to go here, but y'all, it is hot there. It is really hot. It is really hot and it is really humid. So that was a little bit difficult during the day. At night, it cools off where it's comfortable and you can sleep with a fan. But it does get very, very warm. This was lunch. I don't know if you can see him, but he had eyes. We loved the food. We liked the beans and rice. We liked the sopapillas. We liked the tortillas, which are very, very different than what you buy here. They're thick, more like what we used to call a hoe cake. How many people remember a hoe cake? Okay. Well, that's what they're actually more like. But when they brought me this plate, which this is not my plate because I had gotten rid of my head on my plate very quickly, I didn't know. I looked at Don and I said, what am I going to do with this? And I raked the fish off, and I threw the rest of them in the trash. But when they finish eating a plate like this, there's two or three little bones. So they ate bones and all. I mean, there's just the little head bones. And then they started picking on me because they said I had thrown the best part of the fish away, that the eyes are the tastiest part of the whole fish, and I had thrown that away. But I was glad to get rid of it, actually. So this was lunch, but we did enjoy the food very much, very much. Now, this was our ride to the island where we stayed on Wednesday night and Thursday night. You can only reach this island by boat. We did not know that when we left Van Griega that morning. Darren just told us, get your stuff together. We're going to take you to the island where my parents live. They have a project there. And on this island, they are selling lots. And any profit that they make from the lots that they sell actually go toward training the Mayan Indians, the pastors. And it's so amazing, y'all, because these particular pastors, they have so very, very, very little, but they truly believe that God can do anything. One of the pastors, I can't remember how old she was, but she had already started 9 churches by herself. And these were thriving churches that she had begun and was just having a wonderful time in the Lord. But this was our this was how we got to the island. Suitcase there were. Okay, this was a trip down the City River. It was beautiful out there. And it too has crocodiles. We tried to find some. They were kind of hibernating that day. This is the pass that the postman uses to deliver mail. And we went through the little pass instead of going around And there's a little kind of snake in there, actually. Just kind of, this is the lagoon, y'all. It is beautiful there. And at night, they tell me it has to do something to do with the plankton that's in the water. But if you ride your boat, and we got to see it, when you ride your boat at night through that water, it glows. It glows, and you can see the fish glow that's swimming around you. It was absolutely the most amazing thing I think I'd ever seen. This was outside our window. This was one time that we stayed in an unbelievably nice place. American dollars, this house, we didn't get a picture of the house. I'm not sure why we didn't do that. But it was like $5,000 home. This is... $500,000, excuse me. I left out a few zeros there. $500,000 home. But it was beautiful there. This is the Caribbean Sea, and that's what we woke up to every morning. The sun would be shining so beautifully, and it was just really awesome there. Really awesome. But we enjoyed most the time that we spent with the pastors on the campground. It was a beautiful time. They, like I said earlier, they really, really love the Lord. They love doing His work. You can just see it and feel it all over them. So to be in their presence was like being in the presence of the Lord, because they were Jesus to the people that they came in contact with.
Your offering was so special to us because we had... I had known about the trip for a couple of months, so I had begun to save some money so I could pay. We had to pay all of our expenses for the trip, and they paid us nothing. And that's the way we wanted it. That was a wonderful thing. They said, no problem. That's the way we want it. But your offering made it extremely possible for Marquita to go. We were struggling to be sure that we had enough money so that she could, and it was totally unsolicited, and we appreciate so very much what you did, and that made it possible for her to go. We've not traveled abroad much together. One other time, I think we were in Puerto Rico together on a trip, and every other time that I've been across the water overseas, I've had to go by myself. So it was a special treat, and thank you very much for allowing us to do that. And your offering helped us. Marquita said that those pastors believe that God can do anything. And they truly believe that. We watched as they testified. One of the things in our class, we were talking about worship, and we were talking about how God does neat things for us. And it was Thanksgiving season, so we said, well, let's just worship the Lord with some Thanksgiving things. And they began to testify. And we spent, I would imagine, 2.5 hours with nothing more than testimony after testimony after testimony of those people saying, this is what God has done for me. And it was truly miraculous. I could not believe some of the things that those guys and gals said that God has done. But they truly believe God can do anything. And the pastors there don't believe that it cannot be done. Simeon was the pastor's name that had started the 9 churches. She's in her 60s, I guess, now. So she's not stopping. She's not retiring. And she's doing it over and over again, multiplying the church over and over again. One of the guys that I talked to in our class had gotten saved, and he testified to me, and he said, you know, when the Lord saved me, it was a wonderful thing. And I don't know what else to do but tell other people. That's what I've got to do. I can't hold in what God has done for me. I have to tell somebody else. And most of the pastors in our class have already, they pastor one, and they're bivocational. There's not a single full-time pastor. Let me just take that back. There may be one full-time pastor in Belize City, but everybody else is bivocational. They have other jobs, and they do these churches. But they don't have just one church. They plant other churches. Some have planted 2 and 3, and Sister Simeon had planted 9 already. And they're multiplying themselves over and over and over again. The sun is rising on Belize. Darren Pound, we're in the midst of a prayer, 100-day prayer vigil now. I think some of you got the email. You've talked to me about it. 10K beliefs is what they're calling it. They're believing that in the next few months, in the next year or so, God will give them 10,000 new believers. 10,000 new believers. Belize is only about as big as Vermont. Very small country. And the population is just over 200,000. But they're believing that God somehow will give them 10,000 new believers in the next little while. In order for that to happen, they have to have more churches. And they're planting churches every day. And the pastors are multiplying themselves over and over and over again. The sun is rising on Belize. God's doing neat things. People are getting saved. They're getting sanctified. They're turning their lives over to Jesus Christ. And He's making a difference in that place. Village after village. Some villages are crying, please come here and make a church. Come here and plant a church. They cannot plant the churches fast enough in Belize. And in Belize, they don't have enough pastors to pastor the churches that they have now. And they're still planting churches. Over and over and over again, they're multiplying themselves. And the neat thing is, as God is calling out of the churches that are being planted, the churches that are organized, God is calling pastors out of those churches, and they're having to train them. That was one of my jobs. Went down. I was training 10 new pastors, 20 new pastors in this class. It made a difference in their class schedule. One other thing. In 20 years, they have not had one ordinand at assembly. One of the urgencies for this class, for Dr. Nixon and me, one of the urgencies was they had to have these two classes in order to prepare 8 men for ordination in February. If God would allow it, I'd love to be in that assembly. When they I think though that they said they're going to ordain 3 already. There may be 8, but if they just ordain 3, it will be 3 they've ordained in the last 20 years. That will be a wonderful assembly. God will be there when they lay hand. That general lays his hand on the heads of 3 men and ordains them into the ministry. 20 years they've not had one ordinand, and so that was a calling card for me. That was a factor. I didn't have the time to go. I couldn't get away from the work that I have here. I couldn't get away from other things, other responsibilities I have. But when Darren told me we haven't had an ordinand in 20 years and we're getting ready to ordain, could be 8. And of those 8, they will be in your class and your class makes a difference. I told him, I said, I'm on my way. I'll come. No problem. I'll put everything aside just so we can get that done. I'd love to be in that assembly when they ordain those 3 or 8 men, however many there are, because that's going to be a glorious time. Camp meeting will break out in that assembly. You can count on it. It will be a wonderful time. You're a part of that. You are a part. You made it possible for me to go. You were kind enough to say, okay, go. You'll be gone a week, but that's all right. We'll make it. And I know I'm not. I know I'm. There's somebody out there better than me. I know there is. I'm not that stupid. I shouldn't say stupid. Excuse me. Forgive me. I'm not that dumb. But you said go. And I said no problem. We went. We had a great time. We had some leisure time, yes. But we spent 30 hours teaching 20 pastors that have been life-changing for me. And will be life-changing for them and that district. Thank you so much for allowing us to go. I couldn't wait to get home. And I told them about you. I said, listen, I've got the best pastor in the world, and we're working with the best people in the world. I promise you, I can't wait to get home and tell them about you. And so we were excited to get home. But our trip was good. Thank you for allowing us to go. The sun is rising on Belize. God is working. God is working, and we saw Him work in a very wonderful way. Scripture was, my motivation was found in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 19. So that your trust may be in the Lord, I teach you, even you, today. And that was my job. And I trust that somehow it was done properly. I guess if there was anything that I brought away from that trip to Belize, it was a renewed faith in the fact that God is still very much alive and working in His church on the earth. He's still very much in charge. He's doing good things. He's doing good things for those who will believe that He can do it. I do. I do believe He can. I believe that He can shed His grace on us. I believe that His presence can be so magnified in us and through us that we can continue to make a difference here. Let's do it. Let's do it. The sun is rising on Belize, and it's rising on Dublin as well. Let's continue to work for Him. Let's continue to do the things that make a difference for the cause of Christ and the kingdom. Amen? What do you say? I thank you again for allowing us to go. May our faith be increased as we multiply ourselves for the kingdom of Christ right here. I trust you will as well. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, I thank you, first of all, for the way that you've worked among the Belizeans. They are wonderful people, and I thank you for the opportunity of ministering there. It was a neat experience. And I saw you work in ways that I haven't seen you work here. But you work here in different ways, and I thank you for that. My faith has increased because you are active among your people. And I could witness that. So my faith now is better and greater because of what you have done and what you are doing for Daring Pound and the people in Belize. I thank you for Dublin First Church. I thank you for these people. I thank you for the privilege that I had, Marquita had, to represent them in Belize. And the neat thing is that they promised me that they would pray, not only for me and Marquita, but for this church. And I believe that they are. I believe that today, as we meet here in this sanctuary, that somewhere across the country of Belize, in other churches, worshiping in a different way than we worship, somehow they're praying to the same God, and they've mentioned the people of Dublin First Church. And we can sense those prayers. And we pray for them. And pray, Lord Jesus, that you will multiply yourself over and over and over again in them. May our faith be increased because of the work that you're doing, not only in Belize, but here in this place as well. Make us all accountable for the kingdom of God on earth. And we make our prayer in the precious, most wonderful name in all the world. Now dismiss us in that name. His name is Jesus. And all God's people said, God bless you. You've been a wonderful, wonderful people. Proud. God bless you.